Well, God has a journey for us this weekend, and I'm going to tell you right now, Teresa and I, this is my beautiful wife, Teresa. Some of you know her and some of you don't. Tomorrow night you get to hear from her. She's going to be giving, teaching the session tomorrow night, and she's excited about that. But we're hoping to take you on a journey with us this weekend. We're going to share part of our story, and God is just forming our story in new ways, really each and every day. But before we get too far into it, I want to introduce our family to you here in just a second. They're not here with us, but they'll be up on the screen. I was so excited when Phil called and asked us to come and be a part of this weekend. I was a little taken off. I was like, really? Us? Humble. Very humbling. It was very humbling. I'm just so blessed already tonight after worship. Wasn't that awesome? It was fantastic. But we are Brad and Teresa Houchin, and if you can see through the awesome decorations here, this is our family up here. One of the things that Ben didn't mention, you know, in some situations, neighbors like try to outdo each other, like this guy gets this new truck, so this guy go gets another truck, and this guy gets a boat, so this guy go gets another boat. Well, we've been battling each other for children, see who could outdo each other. And finally, I got smart, and I conceded and said, Ben, you win. When he got to six, I was like, that's it. So, Ben, congratulations. I will make you an oar, and you can forever hang it and say I am the champion. But we loved our time living diagonally from the Miller family, and our boys and our girls became good friends with their boys at the time. They didn't have a little girl when we lived there, so... But anyway, up in that picture there on the far right is our son Clayton. He's a senior in high school this year, and he's a baseball player for Hancock High School. The famous thing about Hancock High School is it's the home of Brett Favre. It's called Brett Favre Football Field. There's a statue of Brett Favre. Actually, I got some pictures I can show you on my phone later. My younger son, who I'll introduce you to in a bit, he's a quarterback, and he's holding the football up like he's Brett Favre. So when we first moved to Mississippi, Clay and I drove through the campus, and I remember telling him, I said, you know, maybe one day that baseball field could be named after you. I don't think that's going to happen, but his goal in life is to play college baseball, and we're actually even praying a little bit about whether we would try to get him up to Illinois State University. But there's a reason for that. We don't want to just send him anywhere. And we know Encounter, we know the leadership of Encounter, and we're like, if there's one place that we can truly let him go, it's to a place like Illinois State to know that he's going to be loved on and cared for and held accountable and kicked in the tail when he needs to. So anyway, that's Clayton. Kylie is, she's in the middle between Teresa and I with the ball cap on, and she is a sophomore this year, and she just kind of keeps herself busy with different activities at the school. She loves worship. She's kind of self-teaching herself how to play the keyboard. I just found out today she wants a ukulele for Christmas. So she's a sweet girl who just got her driver's permit. It's a good thing that y'all live up here. It's been a journey. So, and then our son Braden, Captain America, he's a baseball and football player, takes after his big brother in a lot of ways. As far as just his competitiveness and his athleticism, but he has a tender heart. And he is the quarterback of the 7th grade football team in a 6A school, which we go, wow, that's incredible. That's a huge school in Mississippi, and here's our son. The coaches love him. They just say, this kid is a leader. We're just excited for what he's doing on and off the field and in life. And then Haley, she's the one with the sweet smile standing in front of me. She is a cheerleader, whether she's on the field or not. She just... is always doing cheers, and you always have to look out to make sure you're not going to get kicked in the face by her when you're walking through the house. But she just always has a genuine smile, and we love her to death. And then this is our attempt to try to keep up with the Millers in the green shirt. That's little Aiden, and Aiden is our foster son who we are in the process of adopting. He turns 5 in October. We are hoping, we're actually coming up back up to the state of Illinois in November for Thanksgiving, and we're hoping to get our adoption finalized while we're up here. And he will officially be a Houchin. He already is a Houchin, but we can officially say that. And he's been a challenge in some ways, but he's been a joy in many other ways. And so that's our family. I know some of you have met them, some of you haven't, but they're our pride and joy, and we love them. So anyway, Teresa, you can have a seat. And wanted to just move on real quick. I know you've heard about Relevant Ministry. This is our new logo. I call it the font logo because it's just a font that's now a logo. So if you come down this for Winter Mission Trip this year, I'm assuming that's going to be something built into the t-shirt. So if you like that or not. But for us, Relevant Ministry, 6.5 years ago, we moved to the coast of Mississippi to join Relevant Ministry. And we serve by hosting the mission teams that come, like Winter Mission Trip. And we've been on that journey for quite a few years, and much has changed in our family. It's just been awesome to see how God has worked in our kids' hearts and taught our kids how to serve. It's just been incredible to meet so many people like you who've come and to build relationships. I really feel like in a lot of ways we're at home tonight, and just to see so many faces that we know. RM's just recently kind of shifted into a new avenue called Relevant Discipleship. And I know a couple of y'all have been, if you get my little y'all every once in a while, I am from Illinois, but I get y'all in my vocabulary now. But I know some of you have been on that discipleship journey with some of our RM staffers. And it's just been really cool that the Relevant Discipleship is just a one-on-one discipleship process where you meet together with someone and basically focus on disciplines that build just your relationship with Christ in a much deeper way, worship, ministry, evangelism, and you just focus in on that. But really the heart of Relevant Discipleship is to be multiplying disciples, being a disciple who makes disciples. And it's been exciting. Nelson and Pam, who are our founders, are getting ready to teach this course online to a group of pastors in South Africa. We've got connections happening in the United Kingdom and just really all over the United States right now. So it's really just taken off, and it's been exciting. So so anyway, that's a little bit about Relevant Ministry. And I want to just say we love Winter Mission Trip, the WMT. And I'm going to just give you guys a little blast to the past. Some of y'all may or may not see yourself in some of these. Some of these go back a few years. But these are just some of the things that we have celebrated. And it's really one of our favorite weeks out of the year when ISU comes and is a part of what we do on the coast. And that's really going back a long ways. Just love celebrating the baptisms and just God working in hearts. I think that's last year, am I right? Yeah, so maybe some of you, I see yourselves in there. That's last year. I see Brandon up there. I'm glad he's not wearing a pink robe up on the scaffold. So anyway, I know I heard the dates just got announced and y'all are starting to plan. Let me just say this. If you haven't come to Mississippi, you're missing out on a great week. And what we love is we love to see a group of students who are just really starting to get to know each other, really become family, and just incredible things happen. And we've seen people get married. Now we're seeing people having children who met down there. It's just been really neat. So come to Mississippi. I don't know how many can sign up, 40 or 50, but better get on it quick because it's going to fill up. It always is a great week, and we love it. So. So this weekend, we really want to share with you a journey that we've been on, and it's been an interesting journey for us, and about two and a half years ago, we stepped away from the church that we were attending, and we just really felt that God was really putting something new on our hearts, and what was beginning to happen in our lives is that we were beginning to really feel some tension. We were kind of living in three different worlds, and I don't know if maybe this will make sense to you, but we had this ministry world at RM where if you kind of understand, we really kind of had a triangle happening. We lived in this location, and then we did ministry with RM in this location, and then we went to church over here in this location. We kind of had this triangle effect happening, and it was really kind of creating some tension in our lives of just what to say yes to, what to say no to, and how do we build relationship in our church when we have this happening with Relevant Ministry and our kids are so busy with sports and activities. We always said we would never be a family where we let our kids play sports on the weekends, and our kids play sports on the weekends a lot now. And we just really felt that God was just starting to stir something new on our hearts. And so about 2 years ago, we started up what we call a missional community in our house. And this is a picture of one of our Sunday morning gatherings. Basically, this is our church now. We're a gathering of the church. And all these families that you see up here are really representative of people that we do life with on a regular basis. They're families that our kids are playing sports with. The guy in the gray shirt right in the middle is my friend Eric. He's a guy that I coached with, and one day, we were actually a Sunday morning football tournament, and he said, "Hey, can I catch a ride?" I said, "Sure." Invited him to come over for breakfast, and we got in the Word a little bit around the breakfast table and went to play football, and I think our kids got hammered that day. But anyway, on the way home, he's like, "Hey, man, I've been wanting to know, you know, where you go to church?" And I said, "Well, I don't." He goes, "What?" I said, "Well, you know, I really don't." "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, you know, we had just at that time had really stepped away." And I said, "This is what we're really feel that God's put on our heart." And he's like, "I'm there." And this is a guy that grew up on the west side of New Orleans in a very rough environment, very unchurched. His dad's been in prison most of his life. And he just was watching me and watching how I acted and how I talked and the things that I did. And he just said, "You know, I've just noticed something different about you." And so he started coming to our Sunday morning missional community, and he's just been on an incredible journey. In fact, he was unemployed. He got a new job very quickly after he started coming, and his new job, of course, required him to work Sundays. So 3 weeks went by, and he called me up. He goes, "Hey, I quit my job today." I said, "You did what?" He's like, I got to be at your house on Sundays. And so he recently has gotten another job that's pulled him away, but he is in a much better place now, and he's in communication with us now, and he's sharing about what God's doing in his life and you know, speaking language that we've never heard him speak, like, "I'm saved, and you know, God's really doing this," and sharing verses and praying for you guys. So this is what we do, is we do church with families, and we get into God's Word each week, and what we're going to share with you on our journey this weekend is how we study God's Word, and we're going to teach to that this weekend, not in a teach you how to read the Bible and study the Bible, but this has just been an incredible journey for us that we wanted to share it with you guys and really see God come to life in the everyday things that you do, and not just finding him in gatherings like this, not just finding him when you go to church on Sunday or encounter on Monday nights or a small group, but just finding God in everything, every day, everywhere, just like we sang about earlier, you know, that God's just in, he's in all of it. And so one of the things that we do, and I'm going to give credit where credit's due, is a pastor named Jeff Vanderstelt lives out in Tacoma, Washington. And he's originally from the Chicago area, was a pastor, student pastor at Willow Creek. But he started up this missional community out in Tacoma, and he's just been very influential in my life, even though I've never met him and he's never met me. I just watch his videos, I read his things, and I go, this is incredible what they're doing, and they're doing this missional community thing. But one of the things that they do is when they study God's Word, I'm going to skip ahead, but this is a high school group that we do the same thing with, but when they study God's Word, they always ask the same four questions. And it doesn't matter what they're reading. So we begin to apply this to our missional community. As we get into God's Word, like right now we're studying the book of Matthew, we'll read some scripture together, and then we stop and we go, okay, who is God in what we just read? And then we just talk about who God is. And then we ask the next question, well, what has God done? You know, and then we go on this discovery of what he's done. And then And then in that, we, you know, next we say, you know, ask this question of who am I because of what he's done? So as we're reading scripture, you know, we're really looking at, you know, who God is, what he's done, and now who am I because of that? And that's a powerful question for us to really get when we read God's word. I mean, we want to know who God is, and we want to know what he's done, but we also need to know who we are because of what he's done and who he is. And then those three questions ultimately lead us to this final question, is then how then should I live? Application. It's like we take the scripture and talk about these things, and then we say, well, what does this look like to begin walking it out in our everyday life? And it's just been incredible to see what's happening in our home, with our kids, with our friends and our neighbors. Both of my boys, my oldest son Clay was just last season was struggling early on. And we sat down one night and I just said, Clay, who are you playing for? Man, I'm playing for myself. Well, who should you be playing for? I should be playing for God. And I wish I had a picture of this, but we're at a game one night and I look out and my son is down on his knees. He's the only kid. He's down on his knees on the first baseline praying before the baseball game. I'm like, wow, I don't think I would have ever done that. But he recognized who God is, what God's done, who he is because of that. So then he put action to that. And the next game, he did it again. And then the next game, and then finally a teammate came up and said, hey, knelt with him. Would you pray with me? My youngest son, of course, he imitates his oldest brother, begins to do that. And then I was coaching a travel ball team, and we're playing Sunday morning tournaments. And I said, if we're going to play Sunday mornings, we're going to have church with these kids on Sunday mornings. And we'd huddle up before we'd play our first game, and we'd do a devotion, and we'd pray together. And then my son, my younger son, Braden, of course, he's out on the first baseline praying like his brother Clay. And they write Philippians 4:13 in the dirt, and of course, they've got it written all over their gear. And then all of a sudden, another kid and another kid, and in one week, all 10 of the kids from the baseball team are out there praying. Half of them didn't even know what they were doing. Half of them aren't even church kids, but they're just following this example that's being led by my children. I'm going, this is incredible. One of the dads is like, what is this? What are they doing? And I'm just like, they're praying. They're playing for God. Okay, I hope it works, he says. But as we get into these four questions, is that we begin to see how God is in everything. That he's in baseball, that he's in whatever it is that you do. He's not just in the Bible when we pick it up. He's not just in worship songs when we sing them. He's not just in the church, so let's go to church so we can meet with God. He's in everything, and he's everywhere. And as we sang earlier, and as I said, he's unstoppable, and he's pushing through his glory, and he's pushing his gospel through this earth, and he's just looking for people like us to get it, to want it, to be hungry, and to jump on board and to go with it. To know, number four, how then should we live, and to begin walking out his word. Think of the impact if you took the scriptures and answered those first three questions, and then you had this aha moment of going, this is what I need to be living out, and really put that to life in your daily life and everything you did. Think of the impact. This is God's way. God has an incredible way to use us through his word, and powerful things can happen. So tonight, what we call these is we just call these gospel-centered questions. For gospel-centered living. And tonight, we want to talk about the gospel. And what is the gospel? And how is my everyday world being affected by the gospel? And I don't know if that's a question that you've ever thought about. I want to read a verse here in Matthew. Matthew 24:14. And it just says that, in this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. This gospel will be preached into the whole world. And it's going to be a testimony to who God is, to what God has done, to who we are because of what he's done to the whole world. If we take that fourth part and really live it out for the world to see. So, what is the gospel? And this is where you get to kind of participate. So, how would you describe the gospel? What comes to mind when you hear the word gospel? So just give us a couple things. Think about the gospel. What comes to mind?
Love.
Okay. Say it again. Peace. Say it loud. I'm sorry. Free. Okay. Redemption. Suffering. Sacrifice. Justification, life,
salvation,
forgiven,
sanctified.
Powerful words, guys. Do we really receive those words? Do we really believe in those words? Do we really live by those words when we think of the gospel? The gospel is good news. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the good news of salvation. It's the good news that Christ has come and died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, but that's not good news. The good news is that he then rose from the dead. Okay, so that we now can have life and freedom from sin, that he conquered death. The gospel oftentimes is about repentance, you know. I always think of, when I hear repentance, I always like to call him bullhorn guy. You know, the guy that stands on the corner, repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And never, it always cracks me up when you go to like a Christian concert, or I remember going to Passion 6-8 years ago, and there's a guy with a bullhorn yelling at us. I'm like, dude, we're on the same page. I mean, aren't we here for the same reason? And he's yelling at us to repent. But repentance is such an important piece of the gospel. It takes repentance for the gospel to really come alive in us. But I want to go through just a few things about what the gospel is here tonight. And then the rest of this weekend, tomorrow morning, we're gonna begin breaking down those four questions. Who is God? And tomorrow we're going to talk about who is God in the morning. And then tomorrow night, Teresa is going to be sharing, and she's going to share on what has God done. And who are we because of what he's done? And then Sunday morning, we're going to talk about, as we get ready to be sent back out into the world, how then should we live because of the way that those first three questions get answered? And I think it can set us all on a great journey. I know it has for me personally. I know it has for us and our family. We're finding gospel opportunities in everyday life and things that we would have never probably never looked for. And I know this may sound weird, but it's crazy, but one of the best things that we've done in obedience to God is quit going to our church and starting up this missional community. And I mean, we both were raised up in the church. I mean, we were there. I was there every Sunday morning, and then when Teresa and I started dating, we were like, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I was like, Sunday afternoon football, this is killing me. But we just always found ourselves in church. And please hear me, I am not anti-going to church. It's important to be a part of the church. We've got to be a part of a gathering of the believers of the body of Christ, and to be able to encourage one another, to be able to hold each other accountable, to speak truth into each other's lives, to listen and support each other. We are all about the church. We are about the church being active and alive. It just looks different for us now than what we ever thought it would. And, you know, I think I look at Encounter and I go, that is a missional community. I see it, because Encounter is really about bringing the gospel in everyday things. And I just see you guys. I go, you guys are an incredible church, but you're very missional about the way that you show the world who Christ is and the way that you gather as a church. You're very missional. So, flip to my page here. So here's some things about the gospel I want us to get tonight. And this is really just hopefully laying a foundation for the weekend. And I think that it's important for us to get this and to hear this and to know this and to really believe it. Romans 16, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. So the gospel is what? Powerful. It's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Okay? Who is God in this? He is powerful. And he has salvation for us. 1 Thessalonians, and I'm just kind of rambling through. If you want those verses, I'll tell you that was Romans 1:16. 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it just says, For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Spirit, and with deep conviction. So again, the gospel is power. The gospel has power to change people's lives, to raise people up out of the pits. It's got the power, in the words that you were saying, just to give hope, to give a future. It has a power to rescue us. It has a power to rescue those around you. And if we lived and walked about the streets in our everyday life, whether it's going to school or going to work, coming to encounter, going to the gym, living in the power of the gospel, knowing the power of the gospel, and seeing people who need to know that power of the gospel, what an impact. Talk about a campus being changed. Hebrews 11:16. Get to my verse here, I'm sorry. Okay, here. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he prepared a city for them. Okay, so the gospel in our lives, when we're walking it out, God is there for us. He wants to be our God. He wants us to call upon him. He's preparing each step for us as we go. We're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit tomorrow night, and we're going to talk then about the Holy Spirit in us a little bit even more on Sunday mornings, and just being led by the Holy Spirit each and every day and what that can do for us. John 14:6, and I think this is one of my favorites when it comes to talking about the gospel. The thing that we have to understand about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it's not just a way that people can hear about. It's not just an option that we can share with people, but it's the way. It's the only way. And this is what Jesus says. He says, I am the way, the truth, in the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So it's not optional. The gospel is the only way to our Heavenly Father. It's the only way to eternal life. And as we hear people talk about other ways, we've got to know the power of the gospel and believe in the power of gospel to be able to speak the power of gospel and speak truth into their life about that. This is a confused world. There's a lot of churches that call themselves Christians that are confused about the gospel, and they're even confused about the way. Do you believe Jesus when he says that I am the way? Not a way, but the way. I am the truth, not a truth. There's a lot of truths that are made up in this world. Jesus says, I am the truth. And he says, I am the life. Do you believe that the only satisfaction, that the only thing that can truly satisfy you is Jesus Christ. Everything else is temporary. I mean, think about it. If we really just took to this verse and with our whole being just grabbed a hold of it and said, this is it. This is it for me. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. I no longer have to wander from here to there. I no longer have to go and see what this is about or see what that is about to see if it's going to satisfy me. Because I know He is the way. I'm going to tell you a little bit of a funny story. Last night, let me back up. Yesterday morning, we get up to check in. Teresa comes in. She's like, we got to check in for our flight. We're flying Southwest. I'm like, okay. So I get on the computer, and I check in, and air comes up. I'm like, air? So I try it again. Air comes up. So I call Southwest. I was like, yeah, I'm trying to check in for my flight for tomorrow, and I keep getting this air. And she says, well, let me try it. And I give her my confirmation. She says, I get the same air. And then all of a sudden she goes, oh, Mr. Houchin, your flight left this morning. I'm like, it did? She's like, yeah, your flight left out of New Orleans this morning. I'm like, no, I'm supposed to be on tomorrow's flight coming out of New Orleans. She says, well, you booked it for Thursday, not Friday. I was like, you're kidding me. Also, I mean, you talk about it, I'm like nervous all of a sudden, everything's sinking in my stomach. So then we start talking about options, and the one option was like way too much money, and I'm like, we can't do that. So anyway, we were supposed to fly out of New Orleans into Chicago this morning. We ended up flying out last night. So the funny part, that really wasn't funny, okay? Here's the funny part. Our sister-in-law, Robin, she flew down from Chicago on Wednesday, and she's staying with our kids this week, and she left her car at Midway Airport for us, she hid her keys underneath the tire, and she was all freaking out that somebody was going to take her car and all that. So anyway, she's like, yeah, it's over here in this parking lot. So we come walking out the doors of Midway last night, and it was 10:30, and we had no idea where we were going to look for this car. And I'm going to tell you what, it did not take us long to realize that we were no longer in the South. People down in the South are very friendly. They're very helpful. And we started asking people in Chicago that worked at the airport, and they wanted nothing to do with helping us about anything. So anyway, I mean, we were just like, where do we even start? She's like, it's over here in this area and by this. And it took us over an hour to find our car. We started walking and wandering, thinking we were heading in the right direction, and got to a point that ultimately was a dead end. We couldn't go any further. And we had no better picture of what we were looking for when we got to that point. And finally, we got a phone call from Teresa's sister, and she said, I remember the name of the company that I parked with. So we looked it up online, and we're GPS in it on how to walk. So we start walking, and we finally get back into the airport somehow when we're trying to find where our car is. We asked the gentleman, and he finally says, oh, yeah, I know that place. And he sent us out the other direction from the airport. We finally found our car. But that's the same thing with the gospel. If we find ourselves out wandering, looking for something when we really don't know where we're going, we're going to be lost. We're going to run into dead ends. We're not going to know where to turn. And then we start listening. One guy on the bus said, oh, you don't need to get on this bus. You need to get on that bus. And we go get on that bus. And the guy says, no, you don't need to get on this bus. You need to go on that bus. I mean, it was just like, what are we doing here? I mean, it was just crazy. If we wander around looking for a way, we're going to get bad advice, we're going to get misled, and ultimately, we're going to find ourselves in a place that we don't want to be. It's not going to lead us to what we're looking for. Jesus is the way, and the truth, and the life. Here's something I want you to get tonight. We're going to be closing here pretty quick. The gospel is the story of God, but I want you to hear this. It's the whole story of God. It starts from creation, and it goes all the way into eternity. It's not just, and I don't mean it this way, it's not just Jesus going to the cross. That is so huge and so important, but the gospel, it starts with creation, and it goes all the way into eternity, and it's the story of God. It's the story of what He has done for us. The way that so listen, it from creation to the fall of man, to when God finds Noah favorable enough that he saves his family instead of choosing to destroy all of mankind. That's part of the gospel. I mean, God could have just said, enough, I'm done. But there was something about Noah in the way that Noah worshiped God that God said, I'm going to spare this family and I'm going to give mankind another chance. That's the gospel. It's the rescue of God's people out of slavery, out of Egypt. But it's also the rescue of God's people today out of slavery from sin. It is the birth of Jesus. It's the example that Christ gives us as he lives on the earth. And I don't know if you hear what I'm doing, but I'm telling you how important this book is to us, guys. This is the book that shows us the gospel. This is the book that brings the gospel to life. And if we get into these questions, we're going to begin to understand, how do we walk this out? What is it that God is asking of me so that I'm not wandering aimlessly? It's John 3:16 that God so loved that he gave his son Jesus so that anyone who believes in him would not perish. It's the resurrection of Christ. It's the great commission that Jesus gives us to go into all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and making disciples. The gospel is the church alive today in this world. It's just a living part of the gospel that God has given to us. It's having faith. It's having hope. It's having love. The things that you said. It's living in freedom from sin and from bondage that comes from sin. I don't know about you, but that sounds good to me. That's good news. It's eagerly awaiting the return of Jesus. And I think this is a part that so often gets lost in our world today because we get so busy. But it's eagerly awaiting the return of Jesus for him to come and take his people up into the clouds. It's God's coming wrath. But it's also the rescue for all of those who believe in Jesus Christ. The gospel's alive. And God is wanting to see it impacting your everyday world. Our hope this weekend is that you begin to think about the gospel in a new way, maybe in a deeper way. Maybe you're going, yes, 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 I get that, I understand that, that's who I am. Then let that be what causes you to impact the world around you. I want to leave you with this thought here tonight. And I think this is a really a powerful thought. And this is something that Jeff Vanderstelt wrote, and I love it. And then you guys are going to go into a time of small groups here at some point. And we've laid out some questions. And some of them are going to ask you to be a little bit vulnerable this weekend. And I know you guys are broken up into these team colors, and from my understanding, that is your small group. And I want to encourage you, as you get into those groups, to be vulnerable with each other, to be real with each other, to be honest with each other. Ben said it so well at the beginning, just challenging you guys that God has something for you this weekend. It's not about what we have to say. It's really about you stilling your heart and listening to the voice of God speak into you, and really to challenge you and to encourage you and to hopefully even change you where you need to be changed. But this is what I want to leave you with here tonight. The gospel won't fluently come out of you into others unless it has changed you first. So our mission to go into the world isn't going to be very effective if we've not taken on the truths of the gospel in our own lives. If we don't really get and understand who God is, what God has done, and now who I am because of what he's done. It's important for us to get that and understand that and know that. And I'd encourage you, anytime you get into the scriptures, write those four questions out and just try it. It's powerful. But the gospel will not fluently come out of us and flow into others unless it has changed us first. So when you get in your small groups tonight, we're going to give you a chance to really ask some questions or answer some questions, but also maybe even have an opportunity to just confess maybe areas of the gospel that maybe you've not fully embraced. Maybe areas of the gospel where maybe you have some unbelief. I mean, do you really believe that God has the power to fix the sin in your life, to deal with the sin in your life? Here's part of the best news of the gospel. The gospel is not dependent on what you can do. Okay? It's not dependent on what you can do. It's not about whether you can be good enough. It's not whether or not you think you've been too bad. Okay? We have to quit thinking that way, guys. We have to quit thinking that I'm not good enough to follow God. I'm not good enough for God, or I'm not good enough for this, or I'm not good enough for that. Or, you know, that I've just done too many things, you know, and what I've done is just too unforgivable. That's not belief in the gospel. That's not allowing God to be truly who God says he is. That's us. That's really us being God saying, you can't fix that, God. I've done too much wrong. It's not dependent on us. It's solely dependent on what God has done and what he can continue to do in us. He is in the business of forgiveness. He is in the business of being in right relationship with his people. He is in the business of being in pursuit of you. In those moments where we feel that God is so far away, it's because we're out wandering around looking. I mean, our car was literally, I think, 3 minutes away from where we got our bags. And it took us an hour. When God feels so far away, it's not because he's distanced himself from you. It's because you've decided not to believe the truths of the gospel. You've decided to take on something else. It is solely dependent on what God has done for us. The last verse, and then we're going to pray. This is Ephesians 2:8, if you're writing verses down. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's not anything that you've done. That's a good thing, guys. Okay? That's a good thing. Because none of us are good enough to do anything good enough to be right in God's eyes. It is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not by works, so that no one can boast. Are you ready to let God do his work in your life? And for some of you, you may feel like, I'm in a pretty good place. There's more work to be done. Repentance is a daily thing, because sin is a daily thing. Every day, we should be saying, God, I repent for what I've done. He is in the business of forgiveness. Yeah, more than anything, he is in the business of his gospel just plowing through this earth, bringing truth, bringing life, to the broken, to the weak, to the lost, to the hurting, to those who feel unforgivable. It's a powerful message, and it's a message that we need to receive each and every day. And it's not going to flow out of us until it's first changed us.